are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning. This is Chuck Harvey, Executive Director of the King's Men, and welcome to the King's Men radio program here on Holy Spirit Radio. Today we're going to finish out our three-part series on Bishop Olmsted's exhortation to men into the breach. Before we do that, as always, we're going to begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, welcome again to the Kingsman Radio program. As I mentioned, this is the final in a three-part series we've done on Bishop Olmsted of Phoenix's exhortation to men called Into the Breach. And just to kind of get you caught up, if you didn't listen to the first two shows, and they are available on Holy Spirit Radio's website, in the first two shows, we talked about he laid the groundwork for some context to talk about, why it's important that we deal with the crisis of masculinity in the church, and talked about the whole idea of the church being not only a field hospital but also a battle college, and that and the whole idea of men and women being complementary, and that men really need to step up to their role to support women and children and to defend the faith and defend what's right and true in our society. And that, in the last episode, we actually had Kingsman brothers Chris Trey and Rob Glackett on to talk about what does it mean to be a Catholic man. So in that part of Bishop Olmsted's exhortation, he talks about the saints as heroes of the faith. We talked about Catholic men's identity, and that the most important thing for men to remember in terms of their identity is that they are beloved sons of the Father. If you want to get caught up on the show, again, you go to the Holy Spirit Radio website, and the two shows are there. But also, if you want to just read, and I can't encourage you enough to read Bishop Olmsted's document, you can go to intothebreach.net, and the Diocese of Phoenix has a whole website dedicated to the topic. And in fact, they had a video just come out that's on that website called The Call to Battle. So I would encourage you to go out and read Bishop Olmsted's document and to check out that short video called Call to Battle. So the final part of the exhortation deals with basically how does a Catholic man love? And Bishop Olmsted talks about there's really three types of masculine love. Love as a friend and as a husband and as a father. So I thought what I would do for this week's show, to get a different perspective since we've gotten the man's perspective, is I've asked a special guest to come on today's show. Her name is Heather Sawak. You know her as the office manager who runs the ship behind the scenes at the Kingsmen. But Heather and I, in working together, have had lots of discussions about, the whole issue of masculinity. And because today's topic really focuses on how men love, and really obviously how men love the people in their lives, right, as friends, husband, and father, Heather being both a woman and a millennial, which makes me feel very old, I thought it would be great to get her perspective. So, Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chuck. Good morning.
Good morning. So, I have to admit, I sort of tricked Heather into this at the last minute. I said, hey, I have an idea. Why don't you come on and talk about this?
Well, it's great to be here.
So I appreciate your courage. So, in this whole section, the first thing that Bishop Olmsted starts to talk about in terms of how does a Catholic man love, He sort of gives an example and a counterexample, right? He talks about, obviously, that Christ is the model of how men should love, right? That love should be self-sacrificial, that it's really essential to Christ's mission. It's not a side thing you do, it's central to Christ's mission is to love. And but it's important to understand what love is, right? Love isn't just a feeling or sentimentality or, gee, I'm nice to people who love me. It really is an act of the will and an act of self-sacrifice. So he gives the example of Christ being the example. And as a counterexample, something that's someone who's very popular in our society is James Bond. So, and we were talking a little bit about this earlier before the show is, you know, James Bond is often put out there. He's the ultimate hero, right? Women swoon to him, and he's the hero guys want to be. What were your thoughts, you know, when you were reading what Bishop Olmsted said about James Bond? Like, would you hold him up as a model of virtue and masculine love?
James Bond's he's a very difficult character, I think, to look at in terms of what it means for men to love in the image of Christ. Because when we look at James Bond, Bishop Olmsted actually talks about him as an enigma, as having these shallow utilitarian relationships where he's never a father and never really accepting responsibility to love another woman. Which is interesting. He does come off as a paragon, I think, of masculinity in the culture, but it's so counter to the image of Christ that we see in Scripture, where Christ is very much about self-sacrificial love, giving of himself, pouring out his blood for us. And even he goes on later to talk about Bishop Olmsted in his exhortation a little bit later on, how on the cross and through the Eucharist, Jesus gives us his very blood to bind us to himself in love. There's very much a bond there, a covenant bond.
Right. And the irony of he talks about the irony of that James, his name, Bond, is actually sort of the opposite of what he really is. And so how does that? Have you seen, like, how does that manifest itself, if you've seen it all, like, you know, sort of growing up and you know, and being around guys, like the fact that, like, someone like James Bond seems to be, or that sort of macho image is held up as, you know, this is the goal of what men should be and how men should love. How do you think that affects, or how have you seen that affecting men, or how does that affect women in terms of having to live in a world like that?
I think I've seen, I don't know, growing up in my own experience, just different men that I've been around, whether in my own family or just out there in the world, in society, there's a lot of reluctance, I think, for just emotional vulnerability and availability. And because there is a risk involved with that, to be open, to be open and sort of provide support in that way. And I think Bishop Olmsted talks about men as being fearful of commitment, and again, sort of going back to Christ and kind of that covenantal bond that he establishes with us. There's no greater commitment than that.
Right, right. So. Yeah, you know, he talks about the fact that all of us, men and women, but since we're talking about men, that we can only love as we're created, right? So therefore, as men, we do have to love specifically of how men love. And how do we love? You know, as you talked, we love as friends, we love as husbands, we love as fathers, you know. And again, not to pick on James Bond, I do watch this movie, but like he talks about, like, throughout all the movies, like, you know, James, you know, he does all these heroic things, but he's never a father. He's never a husband. He never stays and establishes bonds to be responsible for sort of the people in his life or the women in his life that he kind of uses and goes through his adventures. And, you know, unfortunately, I think sometimes, you know, it's sort of subtle, but sometimes I think growing up as a boy or, you know, watching these movies, and James Bond's not the only one, it starts to go into your head that that's how you're supposed to be. In other words, to be a real man, you're not tied down, you know, you're kind of always, life's always an exciting adventure. And your relationship with women is just excitement and romance. And then you move on to the next adventure, as opposed to, no, I have to stay. I have to be committed to this person. I have to be committed to the children that I might father through this person. And, you know, I got to take the garbage out, and I got to go to work every day. And it's not always a giant international espionage adventure that I live through as life. So, and he talks about, Bishop Olmsted talks about sort of that sort of false machismo, that the whole idea that that being a man is just to be emotionless and tough and you know, I mean, I think probably obvious answer to this question, but like, you know, how does that, like for you, you know, as a child of a man and a sister and a friend of men, is that what you want in men, to be sort of emotionless and just tough and emotionless, or?
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I think, actually being vulnerable emotionally and being available to others in that way, it really speaks to, the difficulty, there's great difficulty in that, and it requires courage, I think, and really self-sacrifice is really a dangerous endeavor, right? Because you're giving of yourself, and
right.
that's very difficult.
And I find that it is true that like you sort of get from our society that to be vulnerable or to be that way, in front of others, is a sign of weakness, right? And, you know, sometimes even our Lord is portrayed sort of as this sort of, soft, weak, person. But really, you know, in terms of, what could be really more, courageous than to leave yourself open vulnerably in terms of emotionally, and like our Lord, to really, to die for your friends, to really get up on the cross and sacrifice. And sometimes, I think we sometimes think as men that sacrifice is only the James Bond kind of sacrifice we see in the action. You know, I get beat up, I get blown up, I get thrown out of a car, you know, I sort of save the day, you know, I kind of kiss the girl and I move on. But, the real courage and sacrifice is the non-exciting stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Again, it's that day in and day out, sort of white martyrdom, in which I help change my kids' diapers. I go to work every day. I even when I have a headache or I don't feel like being around anybody, I'm present to my wife and my kids. And those are the kind of things I think that what Bishop Olmsted is saying, that is really pouring oneself out in love for others, and that fundamentally that's what we as men are called to do, whether we're doing that in the role of husband or father or friend. So you know, one thing he talks about or we talk about love of as friend, I mean certainly we as men are called to be the friend of men and women, but I think what he really focuses on is the idea that as men, we really have to have strong bonds of friendship with other men. It's almost like to prepare ourselves to be better husbands and fathers. Because, and I know, and I'd like to get your thoughts on kind of, you know, I'm sure in college you sort of kind of saw the interaction of men sometimes. You know, I found sometimes until I really got involved in the King's Men and sort of had a network of a band of brothers who were trying to live a life of virtue. You know, sometimes the guys you hang around aren't always the best examples, right? It's really easy for guys to get around and just commiserate about their wives or their girlfriends. But really what he's saying is you have to really look around and say, well, who are your friends? And are your friends, do you have the type of friends who are challenging you to be good men, to be good husbands, to be good fathers, to be men of virtue? Or are you hanging around a bunch of guys who are just kind of complaining? Because, you know, on our own, it's very hard for us to be successful. It's impossible. We have to have Christ, and we have to have that band of brothers. And he talks about, throughout church history, you know, St. Francis, St. Dominic. He talks about, you know, St. Gregory and St. Basil, who were good friends. There's lots of examples of saints, even in the 20th century, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, who it was like their friendship and their bond of friendship that helped each other to either come to the faith or stay the course in the faith, and then to be able to branch out and bring other people to the faith. So, I don't know. Have you experienced that at all? Like, do you see a difference sometimes, or between, I don't know, you know, and I know you're involved in church ministry and college and all. Like, you know, men who in generally kind of hang around with the right kind of men versus men who just kind of hang around with whoever happens to be at the bar.
Well, I think it's
that's a loaded way to put the question, but yeah.
I think it certainly makes a difference. Bishop Olmsted talks about a true brotherhood in the sense of men realizing that they have the same Father, you know, the Father God, and really having that bond together as brothers, not only with each other, but with Christ, and really pointing back to God the Father. And, you know, how do we together live out this mission? So to answer your question, I mean, I do see, I do see a big difference. I think, among men that I've known that have been involved in, college ministry situations that I've been in, where, you know, there really is mutual support there. And I think one of the things that's great about Bishop Olmsted's exhortation, he talks about this band of brothers as a veritable fortress protecting truth, goodness, and beauty that was built upon the stable and rich life of Christian brotherhood and friendship. So, so important.
You know, and when he puts it that way, when we talk about it that way, it really is, it's exciting, and it kind of, I don't know, for me, like, it inspires my masculine heart. And I think a lot of guys walk around, really, they're almost unaware of that possibility, right? And I mean, he talks about the fact that, like, if men have a natural need to have this, and if they don't find it in a good place, they're going to find it in a bad place, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to go out and find it in gangs, or they're going to end up with a bad set of brotherhood, you know, a brotherhood that's not, that's corrupt. Or they will end up isolated. And he talks about how their studies have shown that many men today are living, you know, really friendless lives, right? And what happens is when as a man, you have no friends, right? You have no one to lean on other than what ends up happening, especially if you're a married man, or even if you're a single man who has a girlfriend, you tend to try to suck it all out of the life out of your spouse, right? In other words, she becomes your only, emotional support. And that really becomes out of balance, right? And you start to put this sort of, it's an unrealistic expectation that, as a man, yeah, I'm just going to kind of live sort of this solo lone wolf life in terms of other men, but, you know, whoever the woman in my life happens to be, I'll just get it all out of her.
Plus, I think it's very important for men to have other men in their lives to share their mission of holiness, because they are on the same journey as men together. So having a Christ-centered friendship with one another in the mission of Christ, of self-sacrificial love, and allowing them to persevere in their mission in Christ, and doing that together with one another.
Right. As we say in the Kingsman and Bishop Olmsted says, you know, iron sharpens iron, so one man must sharpen another. And that's really the key. It really is, as he says, a blessing to have the presence of good, faithful friends to provide the encouragement and accountability we need to really be free and to be able to be free emotionally and spiritually. And, you know, something you mentioned, which I kind of was going to gloss over, but it's important, is the idea of Christ as brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
really is the relationship, right? Christ is, he is God, but we don't think of that is that, you know, he's not the Father. He came to reveal the Father.
Yes.
But he's our brother. He's there with us, you know. He says in Scripture, right, don't call me a master. You can call me friend. That's why I'm with you. And so it's really important, especially as Catholics, we understand, and of course it is men and women, but as men, we are in Christ, right? We approach the Father in Christ and through Christ. And so it's important that that as a band of brothers, we recognize that we're members of the body of Christ, and that is even more powerful. It's not just a natural camaraderie, in other words. It's not just, oh, we're all buds, and so because we naturally are bonded, we can get through life. No, we need that supernatural grace that only comes through the fact that we are members of the body of Christ.
Right. There's something so much deeper there.
Yep. So what I want to do is we're going to take a break in a minute. And what I want to do is come back. We'll dig a little bit more into these different roles, these different types of masculine love of husband and father, and the fact that, you know, when men first of all bond together as a band of brothers and in Christ, how it may help them manifest that love in those very important roles of husband and father. We'll be right back.
That Man Is You is an interactive men's program combining the best research from science with the teachings of the Catholic faith to develop the vision of a man fully alive. It addresses the pressures and temptations that men face in our modern culture. This program starts Wednesdays, January 6th at St. Maria Goretti Parish Center, lower level, from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. For more information, please call 215-721-0199. That Man Is You.
A quote from Pope Francis in this year of mercy. Jesus' attitude is striking. We do not hear the words of scorn. We do not hear words of condemnation, but only words of love, of mercy, which are an invitation to conversation. Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again. Ah, brothers and sisters, God's face is the face of a merciful Father who is always patient. Have you thought about God's patience, the patience He has with each one of us? That is His mercy. He always has patience, patience with us. He understands us. He waits for us. He does not tire of forgiving us if we are able to return to Him with a contrite heart. Great is God's mercy, says the psalm.
All right, welcome back. This is Chuck Harvey, and you're listening to the Kingsman Radio Program on Holy Spirit Radio. Today I'm here with Heather Sawock, and we're talking about Bishop Olmsted's exhortation to men into the breach, and specifically today we're talking about the final section, which is how do Catholic men love? And I've asked Heather to join me here to kind of represent the view from the woman's perspective, and also as a young woman, kind of also was, you know, we were talking about, you know, fatherhood and the role of being a father and a husband. So as a young woman, to talk about that perspective from, you know, the fatherhood, how fatherhood impacts us as really as children of human fathers, and how Bishop Olmsted talks about the importance of the essential nature of fatherhood. So we were talking before the break about the friendship and the bond of men in a band of brothers, and how you know, Bishop Olmsted talks mostly about you know, men as friends of other men, and being being friends in Christ, and how that really strengthens them and prepares them to be good husbands and fathers. So, you know, when we talk about husbands, Heather, one thing you know, Bishop Olmsted talks about is that all men, regardless of their vocation, are called to be husbands in some way. So whether that's actually truly, you know, a married man or even a priest, or maybe other men in some way are consecrated or give total gift of service, to God, that men are all called, to be husbands. And so, when you were reading this section about sort of, husbands, were the things that kind of, stood out to you, looking at, Bishop Olmsted's, thoughts on that?
It's interesting how he does say that every man is made to live as a husband and father in some way, regardless of whether or not he has that role formally, whether you know, married to his bride or actually having children. So it does speak to how there's something intrinsic about the role of husband and father to manhood. And it really, I think it really is that total self-gift in God's service. And he does talk about how today it's really seen as something that is it's conventional, or it's boring, or it limits our freedom, or even threatens love. But I think there's nothing farther from the truth that that total self-gift is really just so powerful. And it really is standing up for a strength that endures in society, that masculine love that that only men can provide. In Bishop Olmsted's words, strength for which the world longs, a strength that will stabilize a crumbling society.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes, you know, especially in the Catholic Church, I think we sort of lose touch with this in terms of our priest, right? You know, sometimes I hear people sort of look at priests as, oh, well, you know, they don't really know. They're not really married. They don't, you know, they don't understand. But I mean, if we really understood, and the priest really understood their priesthood, they are married, right? They're espoused to the church. And that is the same, or if even more, sacrificial. Because, you know, a lot of priests, they're espoused to the church. That's their bride. And unfortunately, the bride in this world could be a pretty cold bride. They could be all alone, you know, in the rectory. I know when my wife and I went to marriage encounter, you know, if you go to marriage encounter, they always have a priest or a religious there. And it was really profound for me because, you know, in marriage encounter, people are very open about how lonely the priesthood could be. And he was putting it in those terms. It's like, well, you know, I married the church, This was a priest who happened to be married to a woman who passed away, unfortunately. And, you know, I've married the church, but, you know, my bride never calls. You know, I go to Mass and then I go home and I'm all alone in the rectory, you know. So I think it's important that we specifically support our priests to know that, no, they've made a commitment and they're married to the church, which is us. And in some ways, I think priests sometimes lose touch with that because of maybe how the response they get from their parishioners. And so, you know, I love the quote he had here from St. Jose Maria Escriva about, you know, there's a need for a crusade of manliness and purity to counteract and nullify the savage work of those who think man is a beast and that crusade is your work. And that sort of counters this idea that, well, being a faithful husband who perseveres is sort of boring and dull and kind of, you know, this is like a call to a crusade, right? And that's what it really is. I find that very exciting. I wish you know, more men could kind of think of it that way, because it is. It's a battle. It's a lifelong commitment. Whether you're a husband or a priest or a consecrated religious, and it's sacrifice, and it's really living the model of Christ in the world.
And you know, Chuck, there's so much glory to be found, glory to be given to God, in the context of men's calling as a husband and a father, It is really that courageous battle. Committed love nowadays in today's society, love that gives life, that it's not afraid to give life, both practically in terms of children and child rearing, but also you know, giving life in other ways, whether men are supporting one another and those around them emotionally, and seeking the greater good of those who are in his life, and specifically those to whom he is committed.
Right. Now, one thing he talks about is that he sort of addresses single men and the whole idea that, you know, the single life before marriage, that's not the time to, hey, I'm going to go sow my wild oats. You know, it's almost like St. Augustine, right? You know, like chastity, Lord, but not yet, right? I mean, I think sometimes we think of that as, oh, you know, the single life is when I get to sort of just go nuts. Because later on, you know, I'll be constrained by marriage and fidelity and all that kind of stuff. And he talks about how, he says, the single years of a young man's life are for the formation, he's talking about toward being a husband, not a time of mere passive waiting, much less indulgence of sin. Youth was not made for pleasure, but for heroism. And he quotes Paul Claudel, who's a French Catholic playwright. I urge you, young men, Bishop Olmsted says, to prepare for marriage even before you meet your future bride. Such training and sacrifice is to love your bride before you meet her, so that you may be one day say, before I knew you, I was faithful to you. I'm going to put you a little bit of spot as a woman. Is that more about what you're hoping some men are doing out there for you as a single woman or other single women, that they're preparing to meet you as opposed to they're hanging out with their friends doing wild stuff? Waiting to meet the ball and chain.
Oh, absolutely. There's that phrase that he uses is very powerful. Before I knew you, I was faithful to you. It does show a man, I think, who is mature and has that long range view of not only the future for himself and his vocation, but really looking toward how he can glorify God. Before I knew you, I was faithful to you. How much does that apply to God's own words? God's own words to us, really.
Right.
How, you know, he is faithful to us. He is always faithful to us. And I think for me as a young woman, you know, thinking about a man who has that in mind for the future for his wife is really. You know, you can't get much closer to imaging Christ, I think, in that way.
Amen. Amen. He talks about, he talks about St. Paul saying, you know, quoting St. Paul from Romans, we consider that the suffering of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed. And so he's not really saying that, you know, being a husband is sort of just equal to suffering, but the sacrifice and any suffering that you do have to undergo as a husband, and it's true for or a wife or anybody, but as a man, as a husband, you know, it says that's man's glory, right? There's glory in man's calling to be a husband. And we need to think of it that way, as a heroic virtue and glory, not as this sort of burden that we have to sort of endure, right?
And he talks about arriving at the gates of heaven without the scars of a sacrificing husband. Using that image of a scar really does show that how much of a battle it is, and it really is a noble battle.
Yeah, he even quotes Shakespeare when you're arriving at the gates, and if you don't have those scars, you know, he quotes Shakespeare, "Hold their manhoods cheap whilst any speaks who fought with us." And that's what we don't want to be, right? We don't want to be the one standing there at the gates of heaven with our heads looking down because we know that we didn't fight the battle. We just avoided the battle, and we avoided those scars.
And I think also, you know, speaking as a woman, it's how very much so being a husband is really a calling to that union that's symbolic of Christ's spousal love for the church, and insofar as the man images Christ in marriage, that courageous self-sacrifice.
Right. Right. And he quotes, you know, I think one of the most powerful parts of Scripture, because I know I go back to it a lot when I'm struggling to not be a good husband and not be a good father. You know, from where Christ says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Even so, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I mean in reference to Christ and the church." So,
there's such grandeur in that. I mean, it really speaks to the holiness to be found in marriage.
It is, you know, and Bishop Olmsted says, like, you know, it's not, marriage is not just a human endeavor. It's supernatural. Mm-hmm. It is a great mystery, as Paul says. And it's just a shame. We really seem to have lost that meaning in our society in many ways. In many ways, it's manifests itself in things like, you know, same-sex marriage and all kind, and sort of the contraceptive mentality and all. And you know, in the end, it's I think it's going to be men that have to sort of step into the breach, pun intended, and get back to what the real intention of marriage is and what the real intention of spousal love is and what our role is. Because despite what you might hear in society, It's men who have, I would say, benefit in the sense that we've been able to sort of give up our responsibility and put it on women through things like, you know, contraception, where, hey, you know, spousal love doesn't have to be life-giving. And if it is life-giving by accident, quote-unquote, well, that's not really my problem as a man, right? It becomes the woman's problem. So it really is something that we as men have a unique role, I think, in trying to rectify.
It's difficult. I mean, I think it's a tall order for men too. You know, to say that you know, you're a man and you need to be able to sacrifice for others in the way that Christ did. You know, and Christ died for us. How much does that speak to the gravity and the importance and certainly the difficulty of it? I do like the one. There's one line here. It talks about the love uniting you and your spouse sacramentally with the infinite love that Christ has for each of you. And in that way, sacramental marriage overcoming the limits of natural marriage. So, you know, Christ is on your side here. It's, you know, God is with you. It's a tall order, but it's totally possible. And God's not going to call us to things without giving us the grace that's required to live these things out, as noble as they might be.
Well, you know, I don't want to say it's famous, but I know in sort of Bishop Sheen's collection, one of his talks is called Three to Get Married, right? And he talks, it's really about, you know, it's the man, the woman, and Christ.
Mm. Yes.
And, as you know, I've been married, I'm going to freeze now, 28 years now, I think 28 years. Karen will correct me when I get home. But, you know, when we first got married in the church, and, you know, we were probably lukewarm in terms of the faith, but it's interesting, you know, our marriage has been sustained, and I don't think it's any coincidence when I never noticed it before until maybe my conversion, is that, you know, if you ever look at our wedding picture at the church we got married, there's this massive crucifix behind the altar. It's still there today. It's a massive crucifix.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so when you see our wedding pictures, we're literally standing at the foot of the cross, you know.
Oh,
so,
that's wonderful.
And it really, it's in our family room now. So it really always is symbolic for me that even when I wasn't aware of it, right, even when you don't know he's there, he is there in your sacramental marriage. And so that image always stands out to me that it wasn't just like Karen and I who did this. It was Christ right there, and we were at the foot of the cross when we got married, even if we didn't know it at the time. And that's what's so powerful about, you know, once you know that, you really do sort of open yourself up to say, Lord, I can't do this myself. She can't do it herself. But, you know, my job as a man is to be standing on Christ and be part of his mission. And then that's when my wife can be, submit to my mission because it's the right mission.
I think that speaks to the profound importance of sacramental marriage as well, where Christ really is the center.
Amen, amen. Now, what Bishop Olmsted talks about now with respect to man's role as husband and loving as a husband, and he calls the epicenter of the masculine battle of our time, is the whole issue of God's gift of sexuality and the fact that the corruption or the misunderstanding of sexuality in our society, primarily in the form of the sexual revolution, has really kind of turned things upside down in families, in marriage, and in men, right? And that a big thing that men have to do as leaders, protectors, and providers, and as leaders of their families, is to get their act together in terms of sexuality and chastity. That and he quotes the catechism. Catechism says, "Discord, a spirit of domination, infidelity, jealousy, and conflicts that can escalate into hatred and separation, self-absorption, egoism, and pursuit of one's own pleasure." He says, "We could add here the use of pornography, always toxic to both the participants and the observers, and the consumptive hookup subculture that removes sexual encounters entirely from the spousal relationship." So he talks about the whole idea that, you know, one of the things that's really corrupt in our society is our understanding of sexuality, and that men particularly struggle. I mean, women struggle too, but men particularly struggle with sort of understanding how to what's the proper role of sexuality, and how do they achieve self-mastery, and how do they open themselves up to the grace of God to do that. So what I want to do when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that aspect of men loving as husbands, and then we'll talk about, we're really going to drill a little bit more into the important role of men as fathers, and the importance of fatherhood. So we will be right back after this message.
The statistics are in, and they tell a tragic story. I'm Maria Gallagher of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, and this is Pro-Life Notes. Planned Parenthood has just released its annual report for 2014, and it shows that the abortion giant performed nearly 324,000 abortions in a single year. The numbers are just staggering, and they are all the more troubling given the fact that Planned Parenthood runs on our tax dollars. At the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, we're working to defund Planned Parenthood once and for all. While tax dollars cannot be used to pay for abortions directly, except in rare cases, the federal and state money helps to keep Planned Parenthood in business. If you'd like to join us in our efforts to strip Planned Parenthood of our tax dollars, please contact us through our website at www.paprolife.org. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
All right, welcome back to Kingsman Radio Program, Holy Spirit Radio. If you're just tuning in, my name is Chuck Harvey. I'm here with Heather Sawak, and we are talking about the apostolic exhortation of Bishop Olmsted of Phoenix to men called into the breach. And we're talking specifically from both a man and a woman's perspective with Heather here about how Catholic men love and the fact that, you know, basically there's three forms of masculine love, love as a friend, love as a husband, and love as a father. And before the last break, we were talking – oh, actually, no, before I do that, Heather, I'm missing my plugs. Let me do some extra time here.
Yes.
So it's 2016, and you know, we have a pretty exciting and full retreat season coming up in 2016. We have 7 Into the Wild retreats. You should go out to intothewildweekend.com. The full schedule is out there. There's early bird specials running on all the retreats. Our first retreat's coming up in Georgia in April. So that's the earliest I think we've ever had Into the Wild. So go out to intothewildweekend.com. Also, we have a Samson healing retreat coming up in March. If you go to samsonretreat.com, March 17th to 20th at Discovery House down in South Jersey is our first Samson of the season. And also new this year for the Kingsmen, and it's appropriate since we have a woman on the show and we're talking about a woman's perspective, we have our first woman's retreat offered by the Kingsmen, the Judith Retreat. That's October 20th to the 23rd. That's going to be held actually here at the Fatima House in northern Bucks County, October 20th to 23rd. If you go to judithretreat.com, there's a whole bunch of information. That's a healing retreat for women. I'd encourage you, any women who are listening out there or men who have a woman in their lives who could use some healing, to check that out and go to that retreat. It's going to be an awesome offering. So getting back to our topic. Mm-hmm. So we were talking before the break about he was talking about chastity and the whole idea that one of the things that's really important for men that men really struggle with sometimes is chastity, and that we have to really get our head around that, and we have to really use God's grace to do that. And I think oftentimes it's almost like being a good husband. Like, you know, I don't know, chastity's often looked at as, well, you know, that's the opposite of James Bond, right? It's like, oh, that's sort of, you're kind of weak or you're wimpy and you know, you're not manly because you're not out there conquering, you know. But really, chastity is really about self-mastery, right? It's about understanding, like we talked about earlier, what the importance and the power of human sexuality, the importance and the power of being a husband and a father, and realizing that with that becomes great responsibility. He quotes, he has a quote here from the Catechism about the virtue of chastity. Chastity is the integration of sexuality within the person and thus the inner unity of man in his bodily and spiritual being. Sexuality, in which man's belonging to the bodily and biological world is expressed, becomes personal and truly human when it is integrated into the relationship of one person to another in the complete and lifelong mutual gift of a man and a woman. So, you know, when we talk about chastity, it's not being a prude, right? It's not denying the joys and the beauty of sexual intimacy, but it's not being controlled by it. It's not being controlled by your passions, right? And it's not, frankly, as men, and there's a big problem, and certainly it's a big part of our mission as Kingsmen, it's not doing things like looking at pornography. I think sometimes, you know, it's unfortunate when we stand outside and protest at porn shops, unfortunately men and women come, and they somehow think that that's a healthy part of their marriage. Somehow, you know, bringing pornography and those kind of things into the marriage is a good thing. And, you know, when we talk about three to get married, we're not talking about people on a video, right? We're talking about Christ and the grace of marriage. And unfortunately, it seems like in this world, people are confused about that. I don't know. What'd you get out of that whole talk about chastity in here?
Well, I think the issue that men struggle with self-mastery, probably much more than women, is certainly a battle. It definitely is a battle, but I hope men out there see it as a really noble one, because in fighting that battle and in saying yes to fighting that battle, it's really standing up for that real and authentic love that is to be had when that battle is fought well. And really standing for the idea that, you know, true love, true self-sacrificial love is really our deepest desire and longing as human beings made in the image of God. And the fullest expression of that really is loving self-sacrificially.
Right.
You know.
You know, when I had Father James Brent on last year, he talked about, because he you know, he's down at Catholic U, so he's in a college setting, and he gets to interact with a lot of college kids, that it's just ever increasing. I just want to get your sort of your personal observation on this. You know, young women who would come to him, young girls who are in college, are like, you know, there's no good men. And what they meant by that is they saw, like, men who were otherwise good men, friends of theirs or whatever, were, like, caught up in this sort of this world of not being chased or like, just sort of thinking that, you know, that, like, pornography and all this stuff is sort of normal and that's what you do. And therefore, and so they were getting frustrated that, like, it was hard to find men who rejected that and kind of lived up to the virtues. I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but like, did you see that? I haven't been in college in a long time, so when you were in college, did you get a sense for that? Was that like, you know, sort of this kind of almost the hookup culture and people just like not really taking seriously the importance of chastity and the importance of what it means?
Certainly. Absolutely. That's definitely out there. And even with my own experiences in colleges, just looking around, that environment, there is very much a sort of a hookup culture and kind of a disposability that really is present. And it's unfortunate too, because it's a disposability with, the very thing that is not disposable at all, least disposable, where it's, there's one again. He talks about how destroying love causes us the most pain and the deepest wounds. And I feel like a lot of times I would walk around and as I would look around at my classmates, just seeing sort of this this brokenness that is pervasive, where there's a lack of understanding about what love really is, Bishop Olmsted states that the love that we live as men, the love that men live out, is a participation in and a demonstration of God's love. And it's hard because you really don't see that out there. So I exhort you and I encourage you, all you men out there, to fight that courageous battle for real and authentic love. There's much glory to be given to God. And certainly there's many women out there that want nothing more than that, I think, the men around them. So,
and speaking, and I know many of you men out there are in the same boat. You know, speaking as a husband, as a father, as a son, right? Every woman out there is like somebody's daughter, right? and so, how we act as men, to the degree we act with virtue. And we live up to this challenge that the bishop has put before us, and to live like Christ, that affects somebody's daughter. You know, he says here, imagine with me how different our world would be for our wives, sisters, and daughters if men lived this interior strength of chastity. In our time, we hear of such high rates of sexual assaults in our society, especially on college campuses. Is this not a time to consider more deeply St. John Paul II's proclamation, and I love this. This is an important thing. I think that you can't say enough to men, is that the dignity of every woman is a task given to every man.
Mm-hmm.
So every man out there, it is your job to protect the dignity of every woman in the world, everyone, not just the ones you know, not just the ones you like. You know, and this is a big issue, I think, Heather, that it's sometimes disheartening when we talk about the pornography fight. Men will say, you know, whether we're down at Wing Bowl, oh, well, you know, the women choose to do that. You know, well, that's their choice. Well, no, first of all, you know, how many, people who have a, you know, 3-year-old girl say, well, I hope when she grows up, she's president or a doctor or a lawyer or a porn star, you know, whatever makes her. No one does that. But the important part of that too is, you know, no one can give up their dignity, even their own dignity. So it's your job as a man that even if a woman doesn't recognize her own dignity, you have to recognize it.
Mm.
The fact that she doesn't recognize it isn't a license for you to take advantage of her and use her. Your job as a man is to protect the dignity of every woman, even if she's unaware of it, even if she doesn't respect it. So, I can't say that enough, because I think a lot of times guys use that as a blank check excuse to use women. And, Again, yeah. Everybody remember that every girl out there is somebody's daughter. I'm sorry.
That's true. But I think recognition of the dignity of women and really striving toward that and toward having that view is an act of courage. And Bishop Olmsted says that through building purity of heart, men will see not only God in the women in their lives, but also in themselves.
Yeah. And I think that, like for me, the thing that resonates for me the most, for some reason, I don't know, it's just my sort of disposition, is the whole idea that all men are called to fatherhood, and that fatherhood is so essential, and that's our essential role because, you know, when I think about it, it's probably not official church teaching, but I guess in some way, when I think about it, as a man, in terms of being part of the mission of redemption and being part of the body of Christ, the number one thing, because I'm blessed to be a man, the number one thing I can really do, more than a woman can, is to join in Christ's mission to reveal the Father, right? That
yes,
is what
absolutely.
We can do. That women can certainly reveal the nurturing and the feminine aspect of the divine, but men can really reveal what fatherhood is. And he talks about how fatherhood changes history. He talks about the whole, Abraham being a father of Isaac and being the father of Jacob and that whole progeny all the way down to Christ. And that, that fatherhood, is such an important thing. And Christ's mission was to reveal, the fatherhood of God. So it says here, he talks about, again, quoting John Paul II, in revealing and in reliving on earth the very fatherhood of God, a man is called upon to ensure the harmonious and united development of all the members of the family. He will perform this task by exercising generous responsibility for the life conceived under the heart of the mother, by a more solicitous commitment to education, a task he shares with his wife, by work which is never a cause of division in the family but promotes its unity and stability, and by means of the witness he gives of an adult Christian life which effectively introduces the children into the living experience of Christ in the church. And there's a lot packed into that paragraph. I do want to get your thoughts. I want to comment myself as a husband and father. And that kind of packs in a lot that, the idea that we are the priest of our family, right? And like we talked about earlier, a lot of times being a priest and being sacrificial is just doing the day-to-day tasks that you have to do, but do it with generosity and really cheerfulness, right? And to be responsible for the children that you bring to bear with your wife, and to be committed to their upbringing and be committed to be witnessing as a Christian in front of your family, so they see the love of Christ. They don't just hear about it, And so I think that's a powerful paragraph right there. It sums up that what we as men are supposed to do in the role of father.
Yeah, I think the love that God the Father has for each one of us is such a profound truth that we need to explore and discover, I think. And I think one of the best ways to do that is through our own fathers and even our spiritual fathers, even in our lives, insofar as all men are called to be fathers, and how that really that role is so irreplaceable, it's so needed, revealing. I think revealing God the Father is just it's so profound to know that to know really incarnationally through our own fathers, through other men that. God is faithful. He loves us. He's never going to abandon us. And I think the world needs to know that. And in the context of the culture out there, where there's so many broken homes and broken families, but really, we have a God who is faithful.
Yeah, and that's why it's hard to measure how important it is because for many people, for many children growing up, right? However you are as a man, whether they explicitly know it, that's what they think God the Father is, right? To the extent that they sort of make that connection, if their only exposure to fatherhood is selfishness and abandonment and corruption and infidelity, well, then it's hard for them to make that leap to, oh, gee, gosh, I have a father in heaven. That's awesome. Because their idea of what a father is what they see. So, And this whole idea that we're all called to be fathers in many ways, it's not just a matter of just being biological fathers. I know, in my life, being involved in a volunteer basis with Boy Scouts and all kinds of things, there are so many opportunities throughout your life as men to be fathers to people, to be fathers to boys and girls and, you know, people who are younger than you, and really show them the love of the Father. And one thing, you know, he talks about that really it's the attack on fatherhood that explains so much, even going back to the fall, that really going back to Adam and Eve, it was a rejection of God's fatherhood. It was a rejection of obedience. You know, one of my favorite professors, St. Charles, said that Satan had a daddy issue. And that's so true. It's that problem with fatherhood that from the beginning of time, from the fall, that continues down to our day. So even now, the attack on the priesthood, the attack on the family, is all the rejection of fatherhood and the attempt to really remove fatherhood itself from our society.
Yeah, and really, men being witnesses to the fatherhood that never fails, the fatherhood of God. And I think even for men that maybe have experienced troubled relationships with their own father and might wonder, how do I look at this? How do I know God the Father if I haven't had a good experience myself? But Bishop Olmsted does say that Christ will not leave you without the grace necessary to forgive and heal your own father.
And that is important. I know, for myself, I've struggled with that sometimes, is that we have to be able to find a way, to forgive our fathers. I mean, now that I am a father, I have a much better sense that it's not easy. They don't hand you a manual when you become a father. There's a lot of challenges. And yeah, we do have to begin, to the extent that we have wounds, from our earthly fathers, we do really have to learn to forgive and to turn ourselves over to our true father, which is our Father in heaven, and realize that we're all, beloved sons of the Father. Well, Heather, believe it or not, we're running out of time. So I do want to thank you for joining me and giving me your perspective, as a woman and as a daughter, about the importance of how men love as friends and husbands and fathers.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Chuck.
Yep, no problem. I hope I didn't scare you too much.
No, not at all.
So, for those of you out there, thank you for listening, and for the men especially, I really would exhort you to go out and go to intothebreach.net if you haven't, read this exhortation, and really think about what an impact you have in the people in your life to be a witness, to really truly authentically love as a Catholic man, to love, to be in a band of brothers, that you love and they love you, to support you so that you can go out there and be wonderful husbands and wonderful fathers, and bring the love of God the Father into this world and make it a better place, and to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So thank you again for joining us on the Kingsmen radio program. Thank you for being leaders, protectors, and providers, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless.